thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity where we have to hear from you. Father, this is about you. We want to learn what you have said. We want to know what you mean. We want to live what you have called us to live and believe only what you said we should believe. Move your servant out of the way. Have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Perhaps, Lord, for some in a totally different way that they've never seen before. Help us to see the timeline of man from beginning to end. Understand your plan. For this is how this class is written. This class is written based upon your view of what you're going to do with man. And we need to understand that. That's why each week is built upon the previous week. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, I ask that you fill us with your spirit, that we learn so much tonight that we have a hard time sleeping, at least the class does. In your son's most holy, precious, victorious name, we all say. Okay, what is the only thing that's true about God? What God says is true about God. Only thing that's true about God is what God says is true about God. Everything else is idolatry. And it's false teaching. It is a denominational and traditional concept being held on by man. If you're going to learn what is true about God and what God has said is true about him, where do we go? The Word. The Scriptures. Not tradition. Nothing else. Not our parents. They're outside the Word. No. Not our pastors. Not our churches. Nothing. It is based upon what God says is true about God. That's why it takes a holy God to please a holy God. That God has established what is true and what will be.
How is this?
Is this smooth? Is this a new toy? Is the brother together what, huh? Now, I want all you guys to understand something about that little red sign. Now, this little red sign represents two things. One, the pastor is teaching. Anytime you're going to run to my little red lab. One, the little red dot means the pastor is teaching. Two, if you see a little red dot on the pastor, it's your responsibility to jump in front of him. There's a different meaning on the red dot. Okay, now, let's answer this question. Anyone think you can answer this question for me? Why did God create man? Bring glory to God. Yes. Wait a minute, because he wanted to? That's a pretty good answer. You don't do anything you don't want to. Well, you got the Catholic what? You got the Catholic school answer.
Yeah. No love and serve him.
To know, love, and serve him. He does not need it. Self-sufficiency does not need that.
God likes toys.
God likes toys. Isn't that amazing? If he is self-sufficient, he does not need that. Someone else I heard.
To bring glory to God.
Bring glory to himself. He doesn't need that.
He had nothing better to do.
Oh, he had a lot better to do.
But the Godhead, with Jesus being part of the Godhead, he's always
going to
be someone's savior.
Being the Godhead, he's going to have to always be someone's savior. Well, what about eternity before man?
Passage.
You can read anything you want, as long as it's a passage out of the Bible.
Okay, Genesis 1:26 said, then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing on the earth. So Genesis 1:26 says that we were created in the image of God. He wanted us to be created in the image of God to have dominion over the land. So that's...
Why did he create the land? Do we really know?
Yeah.
That's the question right now. Do we really know why God created man? No. Sure we do. Absolutely we know. Without a shadow of a doubt we know. Are you glad you came to class tonight?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell you why he created it, man.
The red dog.
There it is. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Because it was the perfect thing to do. Don't ask me why.
Yeah.
Don't ask me any explanations. Don't ask me the causes. God created man because it was the perfect thing to do. With the perfect plan to deal with man, and the perfect plan to save man, and the perfect plan to allow man to be condemned. That's why we know there's no other life on any other planet. We'll get into that as we go through eschatology. Have I pricked your interest yet?
Can I ask a question about that?
You sure can.
If you thought it was a perfect thing to do. If it was the perfect thing.
Thank you. He did not think it was the perfect thing to do.
Then he knew everything, right? So he knew man was going through what he was going to do.
was everything.
So, you did not, I don't know how to ask that question. If you knew that man was going to be stupid.
Yes.
Then why did he create
it? Because it was the perfect thing that let man be stupid.
If I look at it from a father's standpoint,
you're going to try to save yourself some trouble.
Yeah, I do.
Amen. If we think about it from a parent's point of view, we're trying to eliminate ourselves trouble. God has no problem with that. You and I are not sovereign. You and I are not in control. You and I only have, we have plan B, C, and D because we're not powerful enough for our plan A to work all the time. We're not wise enough for our plan A to always be true to the fact of why it was created. God does not have plan B. You may think he does. He does not. Any other questions that I can quickly shut you down on? This is the time to ask. There is no what? No stupid questions, no bad questions. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Absolutely, 100%. That's why as Christians, we can always trust God instead of our circumstances. See, our circumstances will tell us how bad things are. And God is saying how great they are because they're going to make you like Christ. Which one do we live? Which one do we live? What we feel, what we want, how we want to feel. God did not put you and I on this earth for you and I to be pleased. God has us on this earth so he can be pleased. And to make you like his son, because his son is perfect. Yes, ma'am. There isn't any, except if you want to take Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. All 60 what? Books? All 66. See, the biggest problem with you and I is we'll constantly want to put God in a formula. How can you put that which is incomprehensible in a comprehensible formula? Everything that is based upon that which always was. That which is caused must have a cause until you get to God, which must be the uncaused cause that is causing everything that is caused. This is the God that we serve. And he is in the business of getting us to submit to him without questioning him. And guess how God get us not to question him at times? Put us in questionable situations. Okay? The beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created heaven and the earth. Great baseball verse. In the beginning. Now, that could be no between. They try to make millions a year between verse 1 of Genesis 1 and verse 2 of Genesis 1. That's how the theological evolutionists get away with evolution.
Yeah. 1 day's 1,000.
More than that. They try to make that there could be millions of years between Genesis 1:1
right.
and Genesis 1:2. Because it says God created, then it says a void and dark. God doesn't create void and dark, right? If you look and walk through Genesis 1:2 and 3, he did not create void and darkness. So they try to make that the theological evolutionist. The evolutionary period of millions of years. So don't get caught up in that, guys. When God says he created everything in 6 days, 24 hours, there was morning and there was evening. First day. And it was good. Because we got a problem. If it isn't 24 hours, how old is Adam? Took God, what, 25 million years? Created Adam in 24 of those extended evolutionary hours? Hours he created the heavens and the earth. Oh, baby. What kind of God do we serve? Unbelievably awesome God in control 100%, and every aspect of this timeline has never ever been out from under control. Not one day, not one second, not one millisecond has been out from under control of God at any time. Now, all these years, from beginning to end, there's been only two times in the history of mankind that there has not been a time limit. There's only been two times in the history of all mankind that God had limited time. We call it dispensation.
Yeah.
One has already happened, one is happening. Okay, so let's walk through and see if we can figure this out. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them perfect in the aspect of no sin. Adam and Eve messed up. All of you ladies, when you get to heaven, you will all want to meet her. You're supposed to have babies like cows. It's not a very great statement there, I guess. But no pain, no strife. You're supposed to be easy as pie. And that girl messed it up for all y'all. And don't think it didn't mess it up for us. Can I have an amen, fellas? Be a man. God one time says, man, how is it to have a baby? And the lady says, do you want to know how it is to have a baby? I think I'll explain it to you how to have a baby. Okay. She said, take your bottom lip. And I want you to start biting your bottom lip. The guy goes, oh, okay, I'm biting. No, you're not biting. Bite your bottom lip. He says, okay, it really hurts. She said, bite your bottom lip till it starts bleeding. Bite through it. He said, oh my goodness, this is cruel. Bite your bottom lip. You want to find out how to have a baby? Bye. It bites real bad and he's in excruciating pain and it starts bleeding. She says, now take your top lip and pull it over your head. You may get a little picture of what it feels like to have a baby. That's why God gave women the responsibility of having babies. Men would never, you would never have to worry about overpopulation. We can't even handle the common cold. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Oh, y'all are the enthusiasm here now. Okay? The age that we start, Adam and Eve, walk through the Old Testament, God working with man, early Antediluvian period. Anyone know what the Antediluvian period is? Before the flood. Okay? Before the flood. Antiquity, early antiquity is... What's early antiquity? Anyone? If the Antediluvian period is before the flood, early antiquity is right after the flood. God in control during this time. You come through all the Israelites, all the promises of God, come through all the Old Testament, come to the time of Daniel. First aspect of the first time period that Christ is going to show up. Daniel. How did the Magi know that Christ was on the earth and was looking for him? Studied the teachings. Yes, bro. Before the North Star appeared. The years that Daniel gave them to say the Messiah was going to be on the earth. Persia. No, it was Persians that came out looking for the Jesus Christ. Not Jews. Can you imagine the influence that God allowed Daniel to have over a secular society, the third world kingdom, and left that responsibility with pagans? What kind of teacher do you think Daniel was, guys? To be able to teach these guys in such a way that 483 years later, they remember what Daniel had taught them, and they left in search of the Messiah. That, my friends, is believing in the Word. Now, my question to you, as we go through this class, as we study, as we break down the Word of God, are you going to put that much confidence in the Word of God as men who had heard about a prophecy some 483 years before put their trust in? Because what is the only thing that's true about God? What God says is true. There's nothing better than the Word of God that we're going to deal with in this class. Nothing. Christ comes on stage. Can anyone tell me what period was the first period with no time limit on it? Yes, ma'am.
Methuselah.
Methuselah. the end of the antediluvian period. Both times that there's no time period is a time of grace before judgment. The only time God did not put a limit on his dispensation was the time that God was going to bring judgment after. Methuselah means what? After me, after him, it will come. So God has said, I'm going to destroy the world with water when Methuselah dies. That's what the name means. That's why Methuselah is the oldest man that ever lived. God's grace and mercy kept him from allowing him to die for that long, to keep from judging the world. Now, if God would take a man to hold off judgment, what does he want to do with you and I as his church? Try to restore the earth before he brings judgment, the tribulation. That's why the church age does not, we do not know when it's going to end, and that's when man says, well, I believe in pre-trib. I believe in mid-trib. I believe in post-trib. According to the scriptures, you can believe whatever you want. There's only one that's true. Anyone know which one is true? Pre-trib. It is the only one that protects God's judgment from coming on us. And you not know it. Okay, are we fluent? Okay, then we got church. Everything changed when Christ got on the earth. And I want you to notice something. During the Old Testament, before Christ got on the earth, God was the center of everything. Everything is based off the Trinity. Antediluvian period, early antiquity, leading up to Christ, Old Testament, God the Father was the center. You see it? Everything centered around God, everything centered around sacrifice, everything's pointed towards the Son. We got it? The Trinity does not work outside of itself. Yes, ma'am.
But also during the Old Testament time, periodically, the pre-incarnate Christ would appear.
If something is periodic, is that the center?
I mean, God came down throughout the Old Testament as a man through Christ.
Yeah, epiphany, yes. If something is periodic, is it the center? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has specific issues in history that deal with man according to this line. Pretty sweet, huh? And you're gonna watch, if you really watch out and see as we go through the class when we start the new part after we get out of eschatology, you're going to see a step up and a step back down of the Trinity. You're going to see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. That's how the timeline is going to work. And nothing is going to get that out. Nothing is going to change that. God the Father, then the concentration of God the Son, then the concentration of God the Holy Spirit, then the concentration of God the Son, and then the concentration of God the Father.
Concentrated form, and then Christ would appear.
No, God the
Father. Yeah, God the Father, and then Christ came in, and the Holy Spirit,
the New
Testament. Okay,
gotcha. Got it. There is, the Bible is systematic theology, guys. And if you understand systematic theology, how the Holy Spirit works, the Holy Spirit, how God the Son, and how God the Father, you cannot get bad doctrine. If you forget the Holy Spirit, you cannot keep right doctrine. That's why it's so important to understand this flow before we start trying to really break down eschatology. Okay? Christ shows. All of a sudden, it moves from God the Father, centers on God the Son. 33 years. That's it. Look at the amount of years it centers around God the Father. The whole Bible pointed towards God the Son. And then God the Son is centered around 33 years. Guess how long you and I, in our lives as believers, to make sure our life centers around the Son. But you can't unless you are under the control of the Holy Spirit. You know how many believers have the slightest idea of how the Holy Spirit is supposed to work in our Christian walk on this period, the second period on earth, where there's no time limit? Okay. Church, Christ is crucified. The minute Christ is crucified, the second non-limited or known limited time starts, the church age. That's where you and I are right now. We are in the church age. I want to ask you a question. How important do you think the bride of Christ during the church age is to Christ? You're going to find out as we go through the class how important it is for you and I to understand this church age and our participation in the church age. The church age has everything to do with the next limited time of 7 years. It sets up what's going to happen for the rest of the people on earth. And we can take it so haphazardly, guys. You are the last line of defense at times when people understand it, what it's going to take and what it's going to be like for them in the millennium, in the tribulation period. No non-believer is going to make it through the tribulation period. You guys know that, right? Do you really know that? Every non-believer is going to be killed at the end of the tribulation period. Hell is going to be opened up. Two is going to be distracted to hell. That's it for 1,000 years. Hell is uninhabited at this moment. There's going to be only 2 for 1,000 years. Then they're going to get a lot of partners that they'll never see. Total isolation. It's going to be so isolated. This is the one thing that blows my mind. How can God still be God and hell exist?
Because God is a holy and righteous God, and he cannot have sin near him.
Sure can't. He can't be near you.
Well, he's created a sinless heaven.
What is a sinless heaven? Remember, it hadn't been created yet. This is sinful. This doesn't belong to him. This is Satan's.
So it's not created yet, or it's not populated yet?
Not populated yet. Hell is uninhabited. If we have a chance, I wish we could have about 10 to 15 minutes for me to teach you what I understand the scripture tell you what hell is like.
Hey,
yes.
Can you go over, we talked about this last time, we talked about this. Can you go over where someone goes right now if they're not a believer and they die?
If they're not a believer, someone dies, they go straight to Sheol, land of the dead. Okay? That's since the resurrection of Christ, right here. Since he was crucified and resurrected, everyone that dies that are, where's my red dot? Everyone that is a believer goes directly to be with Christ. Ephesians, they've been, captivity was taken captive when he was resurrected. Everyone that dies that has not accepted Christ since Adam and Eve began, Cain, Abel, everyone that did not, anyone that did not accept since Adam and Eve goes to what we call the land of the dead, Sheol. And before Christ was crucified, Abraham's bosom and Sheol was in the same place, land of the dead, where Jonah went. Jonah did not stay alive in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Jonah died, went to Sheol, and was resurrected in 3 days. Okay? Everyone understand that? So everyone that has died without accepting Christ, before in the Old Testament you accepted the Messiah was coming, after Christ was crucified and was resurrected, we believe that he has come. We're all saved by faith. Old Testament and New Testament. Only difference is we believe he's come. All those in the Old Testament believe that Messiah was coming. Okay? So, the land, Sheol, down here, is inhabited by everyone that has died since all mankind has been created that died without accepting Messiah. And it wasn't until Christ was crucified that Abraham's bosom was removed from the land of the dead to the presence of God, because no one could be in the presence of God until the great Lamb of God was sacrificed, Jesus Christ. That's why I was looking at it, trying to figure out, what about Enoch and Elijah? Okay, yeah, bro. Remember what it says, I cried from the belly of the fish? The very next verse says, I cried from the belly of Sheol. I cried from the belly of the fish. Then he said, I cried from the belly of Sheol. Sheol's the land of the dead. It would be impossible for a man to stay alive for 3 days in the enzymes of a big fish. And when God told that fish to go back to the creek, follow that creek up to the beach, throw Jonah up, Jonah had a different attitude. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so right now, if a non-believer dies, they go there.
Right now, if a non-believer dies, they go straight to Sheol.
Okay, and that's where they're tormented, knowing that they're not going to be with God.
Right.
But then when they finally go to hell, then we get the description.
Then we get the description of what is going on. The total separation.
The total separation.
From everybody. And God is best. We still haven't answered that question, right? How can God be God when hell exists and is inhabited?
Why is that the question?
Why is that the question?
Why can't God?
Because one of the God's attributes is he's what? He's omnipresent. He's going to be absent in hell. Then it just eats me alive. But I know it's one of those predestination and free will things. Just beyond my understanding. Because he says, I will not change. I'm immutable. Okay. Now you guys get a little interest here. So, let it roll, because once we get off this part and we jump into the 7 years, it's going to get hairy. So we need to understand this, right? Of where we are when we get into the 7 years. Christ crucified eliminated Abraham's bosom for believers. Open up. That's when Luke chapter... is it 16? We're dealing with Luke chapter 16 with Lazarus and the rich man. We know it's a true story because a name is given. Most parables say it's a certain man, a certain steward. But in Luke 16, a name is given, Lazarus. The rich man died and was buried. Lazarus died and the angels came and got him. And the rich man called, there was a chasm between Abraham's bosom and land of the dead. He said, would you just let him dip his finger and give me some water? He said, no. Well, can you just send it back to my brothers? He said, well, they have the scriptures. They don't believe the scriptures. They're not going to believe someone coming back from the dead. Sound like a modern-day evangelist, doesn't it? We can just have a couple of miracles. We can really get people to believe. Who has had more miracles than any people in the world? The Jews. Who wants more signs than anybody in the world? The Jews. All right, this is where we are, my friends. I hope it never ends. Just kidding. There's absolutely nothing. How many of you guys know that there's absolutely nothing at this particular time? I mean nothing that has to happen for the church age to end. Most people, Christians that don't know the truth, that are sitting on their laurels, are pretty safe because the temple isn't built. For rapture to take place, this is end of the church age, rapture, you got pre-trib, that's before the tribulation happens. You got mid-trib, Genesis, Revelation chapter 11. Mid-trib happens, and post-trib at the end of 18 or so, 19, of the book of Revelation. So what is the one in the beginning of tribulation? Can't hear you.
Three.
One in the middle? Mid. One at the end? Post trip. When this age ends, it's going to be on the earth like never, ever before. Judgment. Because it's going to be done by God, not by water, but by fire next time. Yes, sir.
What I've heard references about the end times that I've heard that...
Can everyone hear?
That the United States has really never... Any semblance of it is never referenced. Like, it doesn't exist. And so how does that play into things?
We'll probably exist. We're going to be absorbed in either Gog, Magog, or Israel.
That's why it can be any time.
Yeah, we're seeing very quickly how quickly we can disappear.
What is Gog and Magog?
Like Russia and China.
So people are split.
China owns us economically. Guess what?
So people are splitting hairs then when they're saying that the United States doesn't exist in the end times. This is accounted for.
Oh, yeah, we exist.
Yeah.
We're just not important.
Right.
That's irrelevant.
We are very relevant.
Yeah. Was not a superpower.
Yes, yeah.
We're walking into a superpower, no. Unless we join, get smart enough to join Israel.
Once you remove all the Christian influence from this country,
no. We're not going to ever remove all the Christian influence. It's only be for a short period of time.
What do you mean with Christians?
Only for a short period of time. Very short. If all Christian influence would move for a long period of time, judgment would be even greater.
How much Christian influence in this country?
This Christian influence in this country has already been removed.
Like Christian.
Got the remnant. That's lasting. The churches and people that are standing, but God, we're not a Christian nation anymore. Got to face the fact. Worse and worse and worse. And the church is asleep. The bride of Christ is asleep on our watch. Anyone enjoying this class? We are asleep. Help us, Jesus. Okay. Get through it, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be happening with us during the 7 years. How do you guys like that? But how many of you ever heard of there will be no more tears in heaven?
He's going to wipe away all tears.
Yeah. He's going to wipe away tears. So if he's going to wipe away tears, there's got to be some tears. Oh! What do we have to be saying about in heaven? Ooh, what you really want to know? Or are they just inquisitive?
I think you want to know.
What? I don't think you want to know. You want to sleep tonight?
No, I need to sleep.
You need to sleep. Yeah. God is going to wipe away tears in heaven, but I think it's going to be to the cost of this period here. Okay? This period here, the judgment seat of Christ, and
great white throne judgment.
No.
That's
when don't get it mixed up. Okay. Because at the great white throne judgment, you're not going to get your tears wiped away. You're going to get your white ones wiped away. Okay? So, no. This is by believers. Believers are the only ones going to have their tears wiped away. But why are we going to have tears? Yes, ma'am.
Because he's going to show us all the things that he could have done if we had followed him the whole time.
You guys hear that?
Yeah.
Cold, man. I'm going to tell you.
We know why we're crying.
We know. We're going to have some big book of bad tears, boy. I mean, it's going to be ugly. Buy some stock in Kleenex, you know, it'd be pretty good. When we are just, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 17, that's going to have to take place, right? Can't hear you.
Amen.
That's going to have to take place. That's going to take place during the tribulation period. And God's going to judge us not on whether we're sin or not. He's going to judge us on everything we've done since we've become a Christian. On whether he was in control when we did it or whether we were in control when we did it. Not bringing our sins back up. He's bringing our workmanship that he's given us to build as believers on the foundation that he has laid, which is Jesus Christ. It says, take heed how you build. Because there's going to be an accounting on how you lived after you became a believer. Not judgment, not salvation. Your guy goes, man, I'm a believer, man. I got it made. I am okay. Oh, no. The greatest blessing is rewards. Not for you and I to keep, but us to be able to give back to Christ. Just think about that. God's going to show us through our whole life not our sins, not showing you how bad you are, but he's going to show you what you and I could have been for him. And then he's going to let you see what you are. There will be tears. And he's going to wipe them away. What it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you're going to be saved but singed. Salvation is intact by the blood of Christ. But what we've done since we've become a Christian, we're going to be tested by fire. Gives of our reward to give back to Christ. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I have a question about this topic, and that is, let's say that you were taught that if you believed in Christ, you were saved.
Right.
But no one ever told you anything else. And let's say you were really young, like a little kid.
Yeah.
And you never knew until you were an adult about this part.
Right.
How does that work out?
Well,
like
first,
you had no knowledge of it at all.
Number one, the Holy Spirit is your teacher.
Just teaching you right and wrong, you're saying.
It's going to teach you
doing the right
what you need to do and how you need to live. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, you got a great, you hope that is true, but
right,
you don't know.
Right.
Because first, it's in John chapter 9. John chapter 9 says, if you truly do not know, there is no sin. But the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you down.
And I understand that. I'm just saying, like fully understand your concept.
Yeah.
So if you absolutely really didn't know that,
your sin does not remain. But if you say you don't see and refuse to see, your sin remains.
Okay.
That's why there's a lot of people that refuse to go to church or won't go and have fellowship. It's going to be held accountable for what they could have learned. If I'm going to be held accountable for something, I want to know what it is. I'm being accountable to. Yes, ma'am.
I can't remember the verse, but the more truth that you know, the more accountable you are to the truth that you know.
Right.
Like you talked about going to church or serving the Lord. If you've been taught this and taught this, and you're not adhering to what the Holy Spirit is directing, then you are gonna have to give more of an account for that.
John, in John, I think it's chapter 3, it says, happy is the man that knows these things and does them. So the more you know, the more you're responsible for it. Did I see another hand? Yes, ma'am.
Well, this is crap, but,
nothing's crappy.
So, I mean, I was like, no man is without excuse. So,
Right. They're
false if they're not saved.
Right.
So, I'm just imagining myself up there seeing what difference I could have made, and I'm just having a hard time reconciling the fact that I could have made a difference if it's between them and the Holy Spirit.
What difference? What difference are you thinking about you needing to make? What difference are you thinking about you could have made in somebody else's life or your life?
Someone else's life.
Yeah, that's not going to be a key when you're looking at Jesus. You're not going to be worried about how you affected others. Uh-uh. When you're looking at Christ face to face, you're going to be looking at how you should have affected it. How your life should have been formed. Not how you could have helped others. So you don't have to worry about feeling bad about how you let others down. You're going to feel bad enough.
Like,
just the fact of you could have been more like Christ and you refuse to be that in that particular instance.
So what you're saying is that those you saying that response next year, once your circumstances and you respond in a certain way last year, is completely different. That's the role of us becoming like Christ. So that is progress that we can see by looking back and saying, oh, I'm not like that anymore. That's the whole thing of time.
Yeah.
The same thing can happen in minutes.
Yeah.
And look and say, I'm not like that anymore, because the exercise that we have, we're walking with Christ in every minute, and through the Holy Spirit.
So we're
tuning in constantly. It's not necessarily how it would affect the others, but whether we respond to His call every minute, outwardly.
Alex, the major thing in maturing in Christ, guys, is this. Listen. aspect of maturing in Christ is not that how I am not anymore. That is not the question that we should be concentrating on. The question that God wants us to concentrate on is, why aren't you more like me now? See, I don't want to have to wait to next week, next month, to go, oh, wow, that's what God was doing. I don't need to be immature enough to have to wait to see God work through that situation. I want to be mature enough to know that God is working in the situation, whether I can see it or not, and rest in it. That changes everything. Yep.
Revelation.
You got all of the prophecy.
I think the first chapter.
Huh?
Did he confide in Antichrist?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
No, they think they're fighting UFOs. I mean, Satan has set up the deception for years. Easter Island, all these things. And you got to remember now, there's no big deal about all these people disappearing. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about if the rapture takes place where the world is disturbed. Yeah, bro. I'm sorry. It says, anyone that has ever heard the gospel will be totally wiped out and deceived. The only ones going to be saved in tribulation is those that hadn't heard. Think about that. So, you know, you heard people, you've seen that Left Behind series?
Yeah.
Where they all was going, wow, man, the folks have disappeared, and man, this is what that meant. Man, Christ died of the, That is a farce, Jack, according to the scriptures. If you've heard the gospel and did not accept Christ at the time of rapture, you would not have the ability to accept Christ. That's how great the deception would be. Wait, you want to follow it? Oh, yeah. Oh, and they're going to fight, but they're not going to be fighting for the reason that, you know, people think they're going to be fighting because they've been so deceived. They're not even believing God. Those people are not being based upon the great deceptions that are going to take place during the tribulation. No. Not some. Anyone has ever heard the gospel will not have the ability to accept Christ during the tribulation period.
So you're saying they're blind?
Totally. 100%. One that receives the Lord is going to be the ones that's going to accept Christ. Out of the 144,000 is going to be saved, who has never heard. Okay? Those are the only ones going to be capable of accepting Jesus. So anyone that's fighting at the end of the tribulation period is because they have been so deceived, they have no concept that God is coming back at the end of the 7 years. Satan himself is going to, that great deception is going to fall, but it's because God allows that deception to fall on.
The Holy Spirit, God with 144,000.
Gone with the people. He comes back with 144,000. That's what we'll get into next week. If you hear me right.
The only people that will go into the millennium will be 7 years old or younger.
No. Oh, no.
Because everybody else in the tribulation will not.
There'll be a lot of people going into a tribulation period that is older.
That never heard the gospel.
lot. That's why God is going to make it perfect timing when he pulls the church out.
There will be no preaching of the gospel during the tribulation.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be the job of the 144,000. They're going to come back and preach like never before.
But is it... Do they go underground, or is it
open? Oh, they're going to cause a whole bunch of havoc on the earth, preaching the gospel.
Where did they come from?
Where did they come from? They're going to come all from Israel. All men, all virgins, all Jews. We have 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, we got a couple more minutes.
So where were
floor is open.
They were just always there, and they just decided to...
No, the Holy Spirit don't come in. We'll save them.
You can tell us about hell.
Tell you about hell. Oh, yeah, it's going to be bad. Yes, ma'am. They'll come to know Christ the whole 7 years.
But they won't make it.
Yeah, many will. Many are going to die during.
Oh,
but many will make it through. Oh, no.
Only
ones that will not come to Christ is the one that heard the gospel before rapture. What was that? There is no second chance, dear. Abraham's bosom and going to the land of the dead to give him a second chance to accept. That's a big farce and a big lie. A lot of people believe that. That's a lot of pastors believe that. Biggest problem is they don't study. What's the only thing that's true about God? Make your beliefs based upon the Word of God. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
So, if the tribulation period ends and there's like babies there, so like by the time the tribulation ends, so, like those babies, since they didn't get to know Christ, because they hear they talk, you know.
They'll still be able to go to the millennial kingdom.
Yeah.
Not to help. And they'll be there long enough for 1,000 years to accept or reject Christ. Pretty good, huh? Everyone hear that question? About babies? Babies are covered. They were going to the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years, life changes, man has the ability to live for the whole 1,000 years if you don't mess up. God is not going to play after we come back together with him to stop the war of Armageddon. That's where the great religious whore was that. Am I missing something?
Sorry.
Oh, no. Everything okay?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. During the millennial kingdom, people are going to marry. Just like we're doing now. We as believers who was raptured out won't be.
That's what.
Yeah. We as believers won't have our marriages and bodies. We have our new bodies. We'll be moved from one place to another very quickly. We still won't be in one place at one time. But everyone that makes it through the tribulation period as a believer will still be able to get married and have children for 1,000 years. Okay. And every child that's born will be born a non-believer because of the flesh. Okay.
But Christ will reign during that time.
Christ will be on earth and will be reigning, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the same. Yes, ma'am. We need a TV program. It's not us that's going to do it.
No, I know, but if they're just going to end up the same as we did, but be more non-believers and getting, if there's going to be more people here at the Millennial
Kingdom
and end up
empty. Because it's going to eliminate all excuses, right? It's going to eliminate every excuse that everyone said if it was me. That never would have happened if I was in the garden with Adam and Eve.
Yeah, I know myself.
What is going to happen? Yeah. What's going to happen is the fact that everybody, even under the reign of Christ, we're going to give an opportunity to rebel, and they will. Give them the right opportunity. That's the purpose of the Millennial Kingdom.
It's purging.
It's going to be serious purging. Non-ethical purging. I saw another hand over here on the side, a question. Yes. I'm sorry, I can't hear you, bro. Yeah. They're going to go through the judgment after the Millennial Kingdom if they make it through the tribulation period.
We haven't gotten to that point. It's like missing the second judgment.
I'm sorry, I can't. Right? Everyone's going to be judged at the end of the Millennial Kingdom at the Great White Throne Judgment. Those will be those that have made it through the Millennial Kingdom, whether they call themselves believers or not. They're going to be judged on whether they obeyed and accepted Christ during the Millennial period. Those that does, goes with us into the new heavens and the new earth. Those that didn't will be judged and put in hell, where, again, at that particular time for 1,000 years, there's only two that's going to inhabit hell. It's going to be the Antichrist, and it's going to be the great church whore leader. Okay? And then Satan is not going to be in hell for 1,000 years. He's going to be bound in the pit. Pit and hell is two separate places. Then he's going to be let loose, and that rebellion is going to be swamped real quick by Christ. Okay? Guys, thank you. I mean, we're going to pray, though, so I don't get up. Thanks so much. It's going to be a great class, but I wanted to make sure that I got back in here so we can get back on the right track and walk down what we need to how we need to take the next couple of steps, the next couple of weeks. Because it's very, very important to understand, get a good understanding of what we're going to be dealing with when we deal with the tribulation and the Millennial Kingdom, okay? Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for helping us make it through the class. Thank you for strength that you've given us. What a praise you are to us. In Jesus' name we all say, amen.